And the White House was lit up in the rainbow, which nothing wrong with the rainbow, but what it represents today. He was celebrating change, changing marriage away from one man to one woman, and Adam and Eve to Adam and Steve, and so forth. And that's not good. There are things we don't need to change, amen? There are things we don't need to fix in 2026. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, there was a guy, he wanted to start a church, and he said, instead of going by the Bible, I want to ask people what they want. And they said, well, we don't want a preacher up there preaching. We want to have movies instead up there. And we don't want to have this and that. And they just changed all this stuff. We don't want to talk about hell and heaven and all this stuff. No, you just give us practical stuff. We don't want to have that. Well, let me tell you, we don't need to change the Bible. We don't need to change the pulpit and the preaching of the Word of God. Now, we might be able to change this candy up here, but I think you'd like the candy, so we'll give it to you at the end. But there are things that we don't need to change, and I want to talk to you about things that you don't need to fix in 2026, taking the verse Proverbs 24:21, meddle not with them that are given to change. I want to say the first thing that you don't need to change is living your life one day at a time. Living your life one day at a time. You don't need to change that. The Bible says in Matthew 6:34, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Now, take no thought doesn't mean you're never to plan ahead. We plan certain events ahead and schedule. That's nothing wrong with planning ahead in that way. Take no thought doesn't mean you don't ever plan ahead. That's a good thing. The Bible says plan in Proverbs. Plan your life. Plan your work. Work your plan. But take no thought, our Lord means don't overthink about what is coming in the future so that you overthink it and worry and fret about it so that you're trying to live that thing that you're afraid of or concerned about in the future right now today. He says it will distract you. He says you won't get the help for today that you need to try to live tomorrow today. You can plan ahead, but don't overthink it. Don't worry about it. You don't need to do that. I remember when I was asked by the Trump campaign to lead in an invocation of a rally of about 4,000 people, I believe it was in the fall of 2024. And of course, I planned what I was going to say and planned some things and went over it and thought about it. But whenever I thought about it, I thought, I'm not there today, so I'm not going to worry about it. It will come when it comes. I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. I talked to my wife about it. She said, just pray a prayer from your heart. You've been praying for Donald Trump. You've been praying for certain things. Just pray and share from your heart when you're there. And I followed that. And when I got there that day, many things I didn't plan to do, I was able to do. God helped me to do them. And it was a great rally. Had about 4,000 people there. I had my son and his kids there, some of his kids, and they just, security just let us walk right in, and we walked right in. And I didn't know it, but I got to meet with the president, and God had all those things. Now, and I got to witness and share things and pray for politicians that asked me for prayer. I met some famous people and just had the opportunity. I didn't know all that was coming. If I would have thought about that in detail and known about all that, I might have got worried about it and overthought it rather than just do what God wants me to do. So Jesus is saying, take no thought. That means don't overplan, don't overthink, don't worry about these things. Now the Bible says in Deuteronomy 33:25, and as thy days, so shall thy strength be. What does that mean? That means that when the day comes that you need to do something. If you're a person that knows God and knows Jesus, when that day comes, God will give you the strength, but not until that day. Some people worry about what will I do during the Great Tribulation. Well, God's not going to give you strength to do that today. You don't need to worry about that. You just need to live today for the Lord. Tomorrow will take care of itself if you live for the day. You know, some people have told me that, we had this year 2026, and I was so focused on what I was going to do in 2026 that I was all overthinking it and worrying about it. And I realized I just need to live my life one day at a time and put Jesus first every day. And everything will be great. You know, yesterday we had certain things we did, and it prepared for today, and now today we're going to face what comes to us today. And I'm just saying, that is what God wants you to do. He's not going to give you strength for tomorrow, right now, today. He'll give you what you need today if you listen to Him and say, Lord, what would you have me do today? I'm going to do it, and let the chips fall where they may. I'm just going to do and deal with what you give me today. And guess what? He'll give you the help to do the will of God today. And if you do the will of God today, you don't have to worry about tomorrow. And so what the Lord is telling you is set your goals, make your plans for the year, but remember that the Lord can veto your plans. And you need to realize that. And you need to remember that this year, just like last year, problems are going to come in your life. Are they going to come unexpectedly? Yeah, they're going to come unexpectedly. I'm thinking about Christian Rodriguez. He told me, he texts me today. He said, I won't be in church, Pastor. I got sick. And I see he's not here. Wilda's not here today. But I was at the watch night, and Christian Rodriguez testified, Will Rodriguez testified, Marilla Rodriguez testified, and Eric Rodriguez testified. And they testified that they didn't expect it, but in Awilda's case, her husband came to church Sunday morning in Sunday school, and that afternoon he had a heart attack and died at about 51 years of age. She didn't expect it right at the end of 2025. Marilla, in the summer, her son went to into the service, Reuben, and he got sick and died of that sickness in 2025. They did not expect that. They did not plan that. And Bobby Bajewski had a heart attack in 2025, and thank God he's here today. Praise God. He did survive in 2025. And he's here today. But there are things, listen to me this morning, that will happen this year, good and bad, that God's not going to tell you about right now. You're not going to know about it right now. You can plan and make goals, and God's not going to tell you what's going to happen. He's not going to tell you beforehand the pain and the problems you'll face this year, but they will come upon you unexpectedly. And Job put it this way, he said, yet man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Yet man is born to trouble. How many of you had some troubles in 2025? All right, amen and amen. Jesus said it this way, if you're a believer, he said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. That's trouble, pressure, problems. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. If you're waiting for a problem-free life to serve God, good luck. Good luck, called John Calvin. It's not going to happen. You're not going to have that problem-free life. But you can prepare your heart to say, I don't know what's going to what I'm going to face this year, but Jesus said that he will give me the grace to overcome, but he's not going to give you the grace until you come to the day and time when you need it. As your days, so shall your strength be. I'm saying, Let's not change living day by day, putting the Lord first, depending on the Lord. Now, when these problems come, the Apostle James says that whenever and whatever they are that's put in your way, these problems, you're to put them in your diary and say, joyful experience. You say, how do I do that? It doesn't feel joyful. It's very painful. I have right now a ingrown thumbnail. Brother Eddie told me, oh yeah, my wife had one of those, and I had to pull it out. I said, Brother Eddie, I'm not asking your help on this. I'm just pray for me. And but Eddie said, I know how it feels. You know, it's not pleasant, and I don't feel good about it. And I could worry about it and say, what's going to happen? All that. God lets these troubles come into your life. It's not a big one. Small one, a thumb size. But you feel it, right? But God says, you just put it in the diary as a joyful experience. I got a biting thumbnail that grew into my thumb, and my thumb is painful. Put that in as a joyful experience. Why? The Apostle James says in James chapter 1, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, or he's talking about trials of your faith. Now, you could put it in joy because the Bible says if you're a believer in Jesus, Romans 8, 28 and 29, he says, and we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And then verse 29, he says, so that it's going to make us closer to Jesus. It's going to prepare us to reign with Jesus. It's going to give us what we need to be a mature believer that can help other believers. It doesn't feel good, but God is going to use it for good in your life and in the life of others. He guarantees that, and it may even be death in your family, but he'll use it for good, and that's why you need to just live your life one day at a time. Thank God he doesn't let you know about the negative things that you're going to face. If he let you know about all the negative things you're going to face, it would distract you, and you'd be worried about it, and you couldn't live today for the Lord. Listen, you're here, and I thank God you're here today. And God's got something for you this year, but you're going to find it out by living your life one day at a time. But there's a second thing I see here. Things you don't need to fix in 2026. Not only living your life one day at a time, but secondly, living your life by reading your Bible and praying every day. I wonder if you've read your Bible this week every day. I wonder last year if you followed the Bible reading that we had and you finished reading your Bible and praying every day. You know, in the Bible, God compares that to how he fed the Israelites in the wilderness. He said to the Israelites, now I'm going to bring you out of Egypt. That's like being saved out of the world. And I'm going to put you in this wilderness, and I'm going to feed you with food that you don't know about. It's different kind of food. And the name of the food is, what is it? And what's another name for what is it?
Manna.
Manna. And we know what that is. For the teenager, that's a good pizza. No, I'm just kidding. Manna was heavenly food for angels. And God dropped it for his people for 40 years in the wilderness so that they would have food to eat because they didn't have any restaurants that they could go to, no steakhouses that they could go to, no Italian restaurants or Chinese or even those good American Golden Corrals that I wish they would build around here. Oh, man, I would love that. I love Golden Corral. I'm a Golden Corral man. But I'm just telling you, they didn't have any of that. So God fed them with, what is it? It is called manna. It was angel food, and it was really good for you. It was really good for you. Sometimes what's good in your mouth doesn't do good in your gut. So God will feed you. And God has helped me with my diet many times in my life. He's helped me with my diet. When I was a younger pastor, middle age, younger, I got a bigger belly. And I remember my son one time, he was at the refrigerator, and I just kind of hit him with my belly and threw him across the room. He tells me about it. He said, I remember playing football with a college boyfriend that my daughter brought home, and I was assigned to guard him and tackle him. And when I hit him, he knew he was hit. He's like, oh, that man is killing me. I had some weight that I don't have right now, but it wasn't good for me, amen? It wasn't good weight. And so God has given me different diets. But the spiritual diet, you don't need to fix that. He says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. This King James Bible, this authorized version Bible, the old King James, it's an every word Bible. Some people don't have an every word Bible, and they need to get fixed. Amen. They need to get their. They need to get back to the Bible. But I've never left that since '85, and I don't intend to change it this year. I don't intend to change my Bible reading, because I read every day the Word of God. And sometimes I in my office, I have a YouTube, and I put on the dramatized King James Bible, and I'll click it on the screen, read by, it's a group under Justin Bible, and I'll just listen to that and watch the words up there on the screen and listen to it. I just love that. I enjoy that in the morning, you know, and focus on that. And every day, God has something for you. And here's what the Bible says about the manna. He says in Exodus 16:4, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or not. You know what? The most important thing every day is not that you have eggs and bacon and toast for breakfast, or cereal and oatmeal, or whatever you don't eat or do eat, or donuts for breakfast. The most important thing is that you get in the morning the manna of the Word of God. And He will give it to you so that you will have what you need. Remember, it's one day at a time. He'll give you what you need to live for Him for that day. You say, what do I need to live for Him? I need the Word of God. I need every word of God, and He has something for me that day. I remember Dr. Bob Gray, Sr., down there in Longview, Texas. I used to go down there for his soul winning clinic, and I remember he was preaching one time and talking to us about having a soul-winning church. One year he had thousands and thousands of baptism, and the devil would attack him. And he had a deacon in the church. He was like a new pastor, and he was coming in there and doing good things. And this deacon saw him coming in the parking lot of the church, and he went to attack Brother Gray, not physically to hit him, I don't think, but he was just attacking him verbally. And Brother Gray is like, how do I respond to this deacon? I don't know. He's like filled with the devil, and I'm trying to work for God, and he's hindering me. And that morning, he read in his devotions about David when he was running away from Saul. And some of you may remember, David was running away from Saul, and he was staying in Gath with the Philistines. And David didn't want to stay there, so what he did was he took spit and he would run it out of his mouth and make crazy eyes like he had gone mad. Anybody remember reading that? And God used that to help David when he was down there to protect him, you know, from the Philistines. And so Brother Gray, the young pastor, he started wadding up all kind of spit in his mouth. It ran out of his mouth, and he's looking at that deacon. He never said a thing. He just made funny. And the deacon goes, oh, man, you're crazy. I'm not even going to talk to you. And he avoided the problem. And that's what it's saying, that you can gather every day, and God says, I'm going to prove you. In other words, I'm going to give you some things that you can use in your life to walk with God one day at a time. And if you do that, and you read your Bible, pray every day, God will help you that day live for God. And by the time you get to the end of the year, you're going to be just where you need to be because you followed the Lord. And so so God says in Exodus 16:21, he says, and they gathered it, the manna, every morning, every man, according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. Now, I like it when snow melts, when I need to get it off my driveway. I put some salt on it, it melts, and it comes off. We do that in the front walk. Sarge puts some salt there, and it melts off. But the manna was food. In other words, if they slept in and they didn't gather it in the morning, what happened? When the sun came out, it melted. Now, what is the sun in this illustration? The sun is the troubles and tribulations that you have every day. Jesus used that for the parable of the sower. He talked about the seed that was planted on the rock and it didn't have a good root system. And so when the sun came out, it just withered up and died. And if you don't have your life, listen to me, rooted in the Bible, and you don't get up early and get into the Word of God, then when the problems come in your life, your faith is going to fail. And you're not going to be able to stick with it this year. And you're not going to live for God this year. And you're not going to thrive this year. Why? Because you are not getting the manna of the Word of God before it melts under the trials and troubles of this life. So I'm saying things you don't need to fix in 2026. If you've been living your life one day at a time, keep doing that for God. Live it one day at a time for God. If you've been living your life by reading your Bible and praying every day and then trusting the Word of God, keep doing that. Don't stop. It doesn't need to be fixed. Don't change that. Stay with it. And then there's a third thing that I want to look at this morning that you don't need to fix in 2026. And that's living your life by three to thrive with your church family. The Bible says in Hebrews 10:24-25, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. You know, we had our last service of the old year, and it was a prayer meeting night Wednesday from 7 o'clock, starting with a delicious dinner that Sarge made. Thank you, Sarge, for that dinner. Amen. He did a great job on that. And I really appreciated it. Others appreciated it. And a lot of sacrifice went into that. And then we had a great movie that was The Dragon's Prophecy that has to do with Satan trying to take Israel down in these last days. And that was great. And then we had a candlelight communion for those that were able to stay. Sorry, the bus had to go to get everybody back, but we did have the candlelight communion that those that were able to stay and get home somehow. And so we had that candlelight communion service at the end, and I so much appreciated the testimonies. Awilda gave a testimony. Marilla, who's here, gave a testimony. Eric Rodriguez gave a testimony. Christian Rodriguez gave a testimony. And as you think about it, thank God that though they went through some painful thing, the death of a husband, the death of a father, the death of a brother, the death of a son, and so forth, that's the hardest thing you can go through. Though they went through that and they went through that pain, you could see God working in the Rodriguez family. And that's more precious than anything in this life, because that is what's going to last. And I believe those saved loved ones that are in heaven are cheering their family members on. And one of the things I believe that people will think about when they get to heaven, I wish I would have been in church more consistently on a Sunday morning and a Sunday school. I wish I would have been in church on a Sunday evening more consistently. I wish I would have been there on Wednesday night for prayer meeting more consistently. Why? Because three will make you thrive. Three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Perhaps some of you are faithful on Sunday morning. And you say, Pastor, I need to fix that. I need to go Sunday evening. And then you go Sunday evening, you say, Pastor, I need to fix that. I need to go Wednesday. And thank God there are those that are doing that. Some people do it right away. They're just new converts and they start doing it. I remember Bob Majeski. He came into my office and I knew right away he was born again. I'd met him before he was saved. I was in a business called Primerica Financial Services with him. He was a whiz kid, but he wasn't born again. It was all about things of this earth. As soon as he walked in, I said, Bobby, you've been saved. You've been born again. He pulled out some scripture and showed me that. That was Wednesday afternoon. He was there that Wednesday night. He was there Sunday morning. He was there Sunday evening. And the rest is history. He's still here right now. Not only is he living his life one day at a time for the Lord, but he believes in three to thrive. Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. And it's blessed his life. It led him to get the wife that he has. And he has a blessed family. And what a blessing that was. And I heard some of his family members give testimony at the service, at the watch night service Wednesday night, as we were getting near midnight. And I appreciated Ben Bajeski's testimony. He said some things that he's thankful for, and it was a blessing. Then he said what he wanted to do this year, and that's what we try to do, look back and look forward. And he said, I want to be a Sunday school teacher this year. And he said, I want to go to Men's Revival Seekers prayer meeting this year on a Saturday. I believe probably you got your license. You probably drove, right? He was able to drive. That's pretty cool. You have the freedom to do what you want to do as you get more. And he wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And you know what? He was there that first Saturday, Men's Revival Seekers Prayer Meeting, and he prayed. That's a good way to start out your year. And then he volunteered to help in a Sunday school to help Brother Steve. Did you get there today? Next week, all right. So next week he's going to help in Brother Steve's class to be trained and prepared to have his own Sunday school class. And by the way, when you get to that point, you learn more than when you come because you're giving it out. And there's a teacher's meeting on Saturday, and you get the word in, and then you give it out on Sunday. You learn more than ever before, amen? And it is a blessing. Did you enjoy your Sunday school, Romans 7?
No. Yes.
The reason why he said that is he just came. I love teaching Romans 7. That's so good. He loved that. But I'm just saying this morning that God wants you to get more into it. Come on in. The water's fine. I remember I hung around with Charlie Ware, the African-American, the first pastor of this church. He's still living for God. His picture's right out there in the foyer. First pastor of this church. I was his best friend for years there. Just hanging around that guy, you could not help but get involved. It drew you in. And that's what God wants. He wants you to get involved in the church family at the beginning of the year, and then more and more get involved in the church family. I know when people backslide, they get away from church. If you get away from the Lord, you get away from the sheep of the Lord that are following the Lord. You get away from church. And I know that's what happened with Mackenzie back here. She got away. But you know what? When she came back to church. And when she came back to church, she started just coming to services. And I noticed others came back, but they left. They didn't stay with it. But Mackenzie stayed with it. I said, that's a good thing. See, that's what God's looking for, staying with it. And she stayed with it, and she came Sunday morning, then came back Sunday evening, and then her job said she couldn't come on Wednesday night, but she got her hours changed. They promoted her to manager. She said, I want to be a manager, but I want my hours changed on Wednesday. I want to get free. I want my day off to be Wednesday. So she comes Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. That's a wise decision. And Sunday school. That's a wise decision. You see, that is how you thrive. Three to thrive in the church family of God, and that's what we need. Just be there Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday, and don't be a fair weather believer. Be a faithful believer and take that next step to get more involved. Now, I realize sometimes people are sick and shut in, and people are older and they can't do it at that point, but do it while you can. Make hay while the sun shines. Take advantage, like Ecclesiastes said, when you're young and strong enough, do it. Do it. Don't wait. Do it now and get into it. And you can get just as close to the Lord as you want to. Or you could be just as far away from the Lord and the church as you want to. But let me tell you, you're not going to find anything good out there in the world. I've seen what the world has to offer. It's crap. Excuse my English or French. If you think that's unbiblical, Paul said, I count it all dung. Same thing as crap. If you want me to say dung, I'll say dung. It's dung. My wife's got her... She's all good. Honey, I love you, but God didn't call a woman to preach. I'm just saying, out there in the world, there's nothing good for you. Everything is good is right here. You know, look at Deacon Joe. He's here every day. Where is he right now? Is he downstairs or is he downstairs? He never misses. He's here. He's here. He's here. Guy's getting up there in years, but he's here. By the way, he was here Wednesday night at midnight helping serve communion. He was here giving his testimony. And something he said, God's going to give us a great revival here. And he said, we're 1 year closer to that revival being a reality. Hey, I don't want to miss it as it breaks out. We had a great service at the end of 2025 with that Christmas present Sunday, 232 out, 5 baptisms, 5. I'm glad I didn't miss that. Then the next week we had 127 out, I believe it was, but we had 8 baptisms. I'm glad I didn't miss that. And I don't know what's going to happen this Sunday, today, 2026, but I know Jesus is here. I know He is watching you, and He's got a blessing for you, and it is great to have you here. And by the way, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, the Bible says these things are written, you may know you have eternal life. So everything good happens when you make the church family your family of God, and you show up to the dinners, not just the food dinners like that, but the Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday. Things you don't need to fix. Living your life one day at a time by God's grace. Living your life by reading your Bible and praying every day. Living your life by three to thrive with your church family. Will you do it? I hope that you will do it. And I have one more thing to say. Living your life to win more souls. Living your life to win more souls to Christ. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Wise. Wise. Now, what's an intelligent donkey? I'm not going to say it. But don't be that kind of intelligent donkey. Be wise. Be wise. And it says, he that winneth souls is wise. You know what? I've been challenged by wise people, not wise guys, but wise people to win souls. And they've been great people in my life. This past year, I looked and I was able to lead about 334 people to profess their faith in Christ. And about 20 of them down the aisle to get baptized and so forth. And now we're in a new year, and I don't want to look back and say, oh, I don't want to do that again. No, I want to do it again. And I don't want to change it, except to do more of it. I don't want to change it. And you know what? I got into, you know, after New Year's Day, I got out there and I was doing fundraising with candy, and we put candy in different businesses. We used to take kids out and sell candy. We learned that was not a good idea for a church and a school. So what we do is we leave the candy in businesses, and I went to a business called Roll Call. How many have heard of Roll Call? All right, they do guns and sell guns and all of that. And I was in Roll Call, and I saw four young men around the candy table, and I had to put the candy in there. And they were watching a video on a cell phone, and these guys were about 19 years of age, and they were there. And I found out they were from New York City, and they had a place they lived in the summer in Lake Wallenpaupack, but they're from New York City. And here it is, January 2nd, 2026, and I realize, oh, wow, this is an opportunity. I've got four young men here. I love to talk to these young men about 19, 20, 21. I said, this is great. And I said to the guys, I said, hey, can I ask you two brief spiritual questions? They were all ears. They were just all ears. And I go around, sometimes I have my suit on, a tie. I was at in Walmart. I get this a lot. Are you in the mafia? Are you a godfather? I don't know why it is. That's what they think of me as, a godfather in the mafia. But anyway, I say, I'm a pastor. I'm not a godfather in the mafia. What are you talking about? But anyway, I'm in there with these guys, and they're very respectful, and they're from New York City. And they said, go ahead. And I asked them the two questions, you know. If you were to die today, are you sure you're getting into heaven? Well, they weren't, most of them. And I asked why, and they didn't know the right answer. And I said, these things are written. You can know you have eternal life. I'll tell you that today. You can know you have eternal life. God wrote the Bible so you can know it. You say, how can I know it? God doesn't lie. And he says, in the Word of God, if you realize you sinned against God, and you've not only sinned, but you've sinned so badly you're going to have to die and go to hell to pay for that sin. And then you realize that God became a little baby and he died on a cross to pay for the sins of the world. So anybody in the world that comes to Jesus and puts their faith in Jesus to save them, you're going to live forever with Jesus. You say, oh, that's so simple. Yeah, it's called the simple gospel. You're saved through simple faith by God's grace. It's a gift of God. Maybe you didn't get many Christmas presents. This is the greatest present you could ever get. Receive him as your Savior today by putting your trust in him. You can do it right now. In fact, God says, don't wait. Do it. Do it today. Do it right now. And so I want to tell more people about that. And so I did that, and then yesterday was January 3rd, and I went out with Brother Matthew to help him on his bus visiting, and he needed a car because his car is not working properly. And so I went with him to all of his visits on his route, and even the ones I do every week. Of course, we started out with them, and we got up there toward the end of the day, and we went to Carbondale, but that wasn't far enough. We had to go to Vandling. Vandling. How many know where Vandling is? At beyond Carbondale, right? And we're up in Vandling, and there's this lady named Erica up there in Vandling. And she had called Matthew and wanted a ride to church. And so we're trying to work that out, try to work out the logistics to get her on the bus. But anyway, we were up there, and we went to the house, and Brother Matthew said, well, we've been here in this area before. Remember, Pastor, when we knocked on doors and Vandling? I said, yeah, I did. See, a lot of times you do work maybe 2 years before and it comes back to you. Don't fix it. Keep doing it. Keep casting your bread upon the water. It'll come back to you. And so here we are knocking on this door, and oh, yeah, you're from the church. Yeah, come on in. They invited us in. And the mother was there. And I could tell she'd been through some trouble and problems. She getting tears in her eyes as I asked her if she had some problems. And she had some struggles. And she had a family there living there. And there was a teenage boy there, about 17. And then a young girl looked like a teenage girl. And she was there. And the mother was there. And I said, hey, can I ask you guys two spiritual questions? I asked them those same two questions, and I told him what I just told you about being a sinner and needing to be saved and how Jesus was offering himself. And they all three pray to receive Jesus and received him as their Savior. And they're making plans to go on Brother Matt's bus. And it means getting up, and they have to drive into another place a little closer because his bus can only go so far, right? But they wanted to do that. I'm just saying, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Live your life to win more souls this year, and do it one day at a time. Every day I get up, I'm just waiting for opportunities. God brings them my way, and I'm looking forward to those opportunities to win more souls. Now, there's another way you can win more souls, and that is to train somebody to do what you're doing. I remember leading Brother Eddie Brent to the Lord. What year was that, Brother Eddie? 2002. I led Brother Eddie Brent to the Lord in 2002 up there in Bangor Heights. And Brother Eddie started coming to church, and he gave up the drug of alcohol. He said, "I'm giving that up." And that was our watch night time. And he turned his back on that, and he started thriving. Three to Thrive. He started coming out every service. But you know, there's another thing. It's called four or more to win the war. You know what the four or more is? That's not only coming to church, but now you coming and going out with others to tell them about the Lord. Like we did when I went out with Brother Ralph Tolley and others, and Brother Eddie got witnessed to and helped by other people in our church. And we started doing that. When Brother Eddie started doing it, he started coming out on a Thursday night. He got trained. He became a great soul winner. And he could now explain it and lead others to the Lord. And I realized how important that is. And at the watch night service, I was talking, and I know Christian Rodriguez has been going out with you and getting trained. And that's a good thing. And Eric Rodriguez was there, and I said, "Eric, I want you to pray about going out with me this semester." He said, "Pastor, I will. I will. I want you to pray about that." And Marilla said, and Awilda said it. So maybe you bring a son and a mother. But I'm just saying that God wants us to lead people to the Lord, and then if they are leading people to the Lord, that's the difference between picking oranges and planting an orange tree. If you get somebody saved, listen to me, who goes out soul winning, you've now planted an orange tree. And the Bible says, "Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof." That's one of the blessings we've had in this church, and there's fruit from that. And just this past week, Sister Alicia, she said to me, "Pastor, you got to call this guy back. His name is Navin Saya." Right away, I knew who it was. Right away. And she didn't even say Saya. She just said Navin. And when she said Navin, I said, "That's Navin T. Saya." But I guess you pronounce it Navin. I remembered him. You know how I remembered him? From 50 years ago. Over 50 years ago. Here we had a lady in our church. She was knocking on doors, handing out tracts. And this guy was from Bombay, India. Little short guy with huge brown eyes. From Bombay, India. He used to like small spaces. He would go into our house, he'd say, "I could live in that closet there." And he would say, "I could design the closet." I was crazy. I was like, and we used to joke with Navin T. Saya from India. But you know what? After 50 years, he's now living down in right near Sights and Sounds in Lebanon, Pennsylvania, right near Sights and Sounds, about 9 minutes away. He was telling me he wants to get together with me. And I started talking to him, and he said, "Pastor, I've been witnessing and living for Jesus for over 50 years, and it was a soul winner from your church." And I wasn't even the pastor then. It was Charlie Ware. I was the assistant pastor. And he was telling me about that. And he got married to this great girl. They had two kids. And just telling me all the blessings of God in his life. And he's like a fruit tree now. And it's wise to do this. It's wise not only to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday, Wednesday, but to go out on a Thursday and to not fix that if you're doing it. If you are not doing it, get back to it. I'm just saying today, things you don't need to fix in 2026. Just keep living your life one day at a time for the Lord. Number two, live your life by reading your Bible and praying every day. Follow that Bible reading program. Number three, live your life by three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Sunday, Wednesday, with your church. And be here at the, if God willing and God allowing you, be here at the watch night. And try to get right to the end to candlelight and communion if you can. And then finally, live your life to win more souls to Christ and plant more fruit trees for the Lord. Let's bow.